And I'm going to start by reading to you a passage of scripture written around 700 years before Jesus came in the book of Isaiah, who was one of the guys that God chose out of the Israelites to speak through. Fancy word for that is a prophet, somebody who God speaks to and then God speaks through. And this passage, this Isaiah 53, it is just amazing. I mean, the whole book of Isaiah and all these prophetic passages in the Old Testament that talk about things that we're experiencing today, just even reading them is amazing. But this passage, you know, the things that those Old Testament Israelites experienced in outward things. You know, God said, I want you to make a tabernacle. I want you to make a tent. And I want you to make an ark and put this ark in. And the only reason why most people know what the ark is because you saw Indiana Jones, you know. But the real thing is actually in the Bible. And but he said, I want you to put an ark in there. And then he said, I want you to put a veil. I want you to put a curtain inside there and put the ark on one side. And on the other side, I want you to put a few other things, but I want you to tell the people that no one can go past this curtain to get to the ark, which was the presence of God, all the while that this tabernacle is standing, and this whole nation says, I want you to build this, I want you to do this, because in that is a truth, in this thing, in this tent, and in your experience of this tent, is a truth about the condition of human hearts in relationship with God. And he said there's only one person who can go in, and that person can only go in through that veil once a year. And the only way they can get through that veil is they have to take the purest and most spotless of lambs, a real lamb, little woolly, innocent lamb, done nothing wrong. Okay? Find the cleanest, the purest, the most spotless lamb that you can find. And then in front of the people, kill the lamb. Shed its blood. And then I want the high priest and him alone to take that blood of that shed lamb, and he can enter in behind the veil, and he will sprinkle that blood on the ark where the presence of God is. The New Testament in the book of Hebrews tells us what all that meant. And it uses this terminology. It says, that tabernacle, while it stood, you know, all these Israelites around there bringing their sacrifices, you know, all the time they can't get to the presence of God. There's a veil between them and the presence of God. And, you know, they live day after day with this understanding. God's over there and I'm over here. I can't get to God. There's something blocking the way. In fact, what's blocking the way, as God told them, was their sin. And what he told them was the wages of sin is death. There's a cost for all this stuff that's inside of you that's contrary to the holiness of God. There's God. God is a just God. He is a holy God. He is a pure God. But our hearts and the hearts of all this people are set upon every kind of earthly sinful thing you can possibly imagine. And he was basically saying to them, it's your sin. In fact, he says it. He says, your sins have separated you from God. And that was the message. Your sins are what keep you from God. Let me bring this down to where we're at today. Every person born on planet Earth, from the time that they are born until the time that they die, is a sinner. And it starts manifesting really early in and we see things that in our children that no parent ever wants to see in their child. I mean, selfishness is right there from the very beginning. Envy and jealousy and anger, striking out. And, you know, I have two grandsons whom I love dearly. One is 3 and the other is 4. And I want to tell you, when one of them has a toy, the other wants it. And if he can't have it, he gets very, very upset. In fact, if there are a bunch of toys, sometimes one of those kids wants all the toys and doesn't want the other kid to have anything. Okay? And if you've been around children, you know what happens sometimes is the anger turns to wrath and the wrath turns to violence. And those are the circumstances from the time we are children. Now, let me just advance about 20 years. And what happens to us? We are just a lot more sophisticated about our sin. But all those things are operating inside of us. And if you read in the Bible, and I would encourage you to do it, I don't have time today to do it, but if you read it through in the Bible, God has this long lists of his descriptions. See, we have our own descriptions, and our descriptions are kind of not as bad as God's description. You know? Because we really don't want to think that there's that much wrong with us. We want to kind of justify ourselves. And we justify ourselves in all kinds of interesting ways. We justify ourselves in thinking, that guy's really bad. He's really bad. Like the guys that, you know, that ran over the soldier. The guy that ran over the soldier. The guy that ran up behind the guy, you know, the soldier at the memorial and shot him. That guy is evil. But I'm not like that guy. That's a human perspective. Okay? Jesus said, listen to this one. And Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. You want God's perspective? Here's God's perspective. Because the Pharisees thought that way. The Pharisees thought, I haven't done this and that like those guys do, therefore I'm okay. So Jesus, knowing people's thoughts, he said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say to you, if a man even has anger in his heart, he has already committed murder. That's God's perspective. See, we think, oh, anger schmanger. You know, what difference does anger make, you know? So what, I get mad, I'm Irish, you know, or whatever it is that you are. Whatever nationality, every nationality justifies their sin by their nationality, you know. But God's perspective is really different. Because, and it's hard for us to understand that because we're not holy. And to understand, you really have to understand what God's like. There is no sin. There is not even the smidgenest little iota of any darkness whatsoever. Absolutely pure, absolutely clean, absolutely righteous in every sense of the word. And so for a holy God, the smallest little thing is, ah! Okay? Just dramatizing that. I hope you hear, okay? This is God's perspective, okay? Yeah. God's perspective in James. God says it this way. This is God's perspective. He who offends in one point of the law is guilty of the whole law. That's God's perspective. Why? See, to us, you know, it's not sin is sin. To us, it's that sin, but what I do, well, I don't know, it's a little white lie. You know, it's not really a bad thing, it's just a little white lie. You know, and we try to diminish it. But we have to understand that to God, all sin is black. All sin is evil, right to the very core. All sin destroys. And think about this, Adam and Eve, one sin. One sin, it was a pretty big one, but one sin was enough for them to lose eternal life. lose access to the tree of life, lose access to the presence of God. And then every human being after that is now followed in their path. Okay? So anyway, along comes Israel, and God is speaking to Israel through people, tells them to build a tabernacle, says put a veil there, and put the ark on one side. That's my presence. And the only guy who gets in is this high priest. And the only way he can get in is by taking a spotless lamb. What is this? Go forward 700 years. Or 1,000 years or whatever. Okay? And now you have John the Baptist, prophet of God, full of the Holy Ghost, by the Jordan River, baptizing people. You know? God had spoken to him that he was the forerunner. He was the one who was going to prepare the way for the Christ, for God manifest in the flesh. He was the prophet right before Jesus would come, baptizing people. Jesus comes along. He looks up. He sees Jesus. And these are the words that he says. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Today's a day of celebration. It's an incredible celebration because some people who are among us, I mean, I don't know how this happens other than God opens a person's eyes. He just opens their eyes and they see. They see themselves for who they are. They see their need for God. They see that they need forgiveness from him. They recognize that they have not been living in a relationship with God. They hear about what Jesus has done for them and that God sent his son into this world. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him, whoever puts his faith in the Lamb, whoever trusts that the Lamb of God and the sacrifice of that Lamb is enough to cover, to pay for their own sin, that person will receive everlasting life. Will and Marcy, Jen and little Elizabeth, who her mom has been questioning, you know, over and over and over about getting baptized, you know, wanted to make sure that she really understands what this is about. How old is she? Yeah. She's 4 years old. 4 years old. And I heard what one of the answers that Lizzie said to her mom. She says, Mommy, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Don't you understand, Mommy? I belong to Jesus. You know, little four-year-old girl is getting the truth of what Jesus has done for her. In relationship. Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Hebrews, I didn't tell you about that. Fast forward to the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews says about that tabernacle, it says that it was a picture. It was a like a symbol. It was an image for the time present back then to show them that the way to God had not come yet while that tabernacle was standing. So all those Israelites, you know, wandering around the tent and bringing their sacrifices to the tent, and the nation's there, the priests are there, you know, every day the message is right in front of their eyes. You can't get to God yet because something has to happen. These animals that you're bringing, you know, goats and little birds and things like that, all these sacrifices, the wages of sin is death. I don't want to kill you, God says. I don't want to destroy you. I want to forgive you. But an animal isn't enough. The only thing that's worthy of paying a price for your life is another human being, but not just an imperfect human being. It's got to be a perfect sacrifice. It's got to be a sinless sacrifice. Somebody who has done what you cannot do. Because if it's a sinful person, Daniel, like me, him as an example. So we take Daniel, we take him out, we nail him to the cross, you know, pound the nails in his hands, there. And Daniel dies for his own sins, but then we got to go to Matt. Come on, Matt, get Matt over there. You know, nail him to the cross. Well, look at that, another sinner beside him. Well, Levi, come over here, you know. No human being that is sinful is enough to pay. It has to be a spotless lamb, a sacrifice that is so great, so perfect, that it'll take care of Daniel's sin and Matt's sin, Liam's sin, sorry, called you Levi, Joel's sin. Okay? But here's the thing. Go read it. Matthew 28. When Jesus went to the cross and when he died, and there was a temple in Jerusalem with a 60-foot high veil, you know, like a curtain between the inner place and the outer place. The Bible says that when Jesus died, the veil was ripped open from top to bottom, and a great earthquake, darkness, you know, lightnings, and the veil is shred from top to bottom. And Hebrews tells us that we now have access by a new and a living way within the veil to the very presence of God. Having our hearts, listen to this, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience by the blood of the Lamb. And then Hebrews 10 says this about Jesus. And by the way, Hebrews 10 is the culmination of, almost 9 chapters of showing all the reasons why people could not make it on their own. But in Hebrews 10, he says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down on the right hand of God. And then it says, for by one sacrifice he has sanctified. That means set apart and made pure. He has sanctified. Listen to this. He has perfected forever those that are sanctified by that blood. Washed forever. You heard it in the song today. Okay? How far has he separated our sins from us? As far as the east is from the west. Though your sins be as scarlet. What's scarlet? Bright. You can't get away from it. It's there. It's ever before us. Okay, blackness, a big black blot. Doesn't matter what you do, you can't wash it away. You can't do enough good works to clean it up. You can't be righteous enough to somehow get rid of the blot. No goodness can take the blot away. But the Bible says, he blotted out our transgressions. Blotted them out. He removed our iniquities, cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. Now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here in just a little while in the Alliance Church, 1:00. Will and Marcy, Jen and Elizabeth are going to stand in that water, which symbolizes their old life before they came to Christ. Okay? Read you a passage of Scripture. I was going to get to Isaiah, but I'm not going to know. Maybe I will. Okay. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking, John 5. I tell you the truth. Jesus says this. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me, listen to this, has... What tense is that? Come on, you English guys. Present tense. Can I say that again? Excuse me. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has right now everlasting life and will never come into condemnation. Forgiven. Forgiven. Forgiven of all sin. But he has crossed over from death to life. Death to life. Now this is the miracle. And maybe you haven't experienced it yet, but God wants to give it to you. The miracle is that when this happens, when we believe on Jesus, when we believe what Jesus, when we believe that the Lamb who went to the cross and he was punished for our sins and he was nailed to the cross, when we believe that's enough. God's judgment that should have been on us is 100% satisfied. My wrath poured out on my son Jesus so that it would never be poured out on you. That's why it's no condemnation. No, not condemned. He shall not be condemned, but is passed from death unto life. Now that happened, Will and Marcy, Jen and Elizabeth out there, okay? It happened not because you did something for it, not because you jumped through a bunch of hoops, not because you tried to be good. It happened because you believed. It's a gift. You can't work for it. Okay? You can't make it happen. And when it happened, God himself, that veil gone, God himself comes and takes up residence inside of us. And our relationship is restored. It's no longer the God out there. He is right here. There's no more veil. There's nothing separating me from him. I can come right now, right into the presence of God, because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he's come to live inside of me. And that's what the Bible calls being born again. Okay? So, back to these guys standing in the water in the Lion's Church in a half an hour. Okay? When they stand in the water, that represents their life before they received Jesus. It stands for all of the sin. All the sin, past, present, future, that they have ever done. That old life. And by the way, the Bible says this. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent means, Jesus, I don't want this old life anymore. I don't want darkness. I don't want sin. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to act this way. I don't want that old life. I want your life. Jesus, give me your life. Make me like you. Take away this jealousy. Take away this unforgiveness. Take away this all these dark things that are inside me. Oh God, work on me that I might become like you. Okay? When a person stands in the water, that also represents repentance. I'm saying no more. I'm saying I turn my back on sin. I don't want this anymore. And when they go down into the water, and Daniel, will you come and help me, please? Hold this microphone for me. Okay? This is what happens. I've got to stand up here so these guys can see us. There they are right there. Okay. All right? I'm going to use Will as an example. Here's Will, standing in the water. Here's Jesus, joined to Will. And in what kind of way? The Bible says Jesus became sin for us. He became sin, our sin. He took upon himself our sin. So I want to tell you, Will, when you stand in that water, right there, Jesus is right there with you. And all of our sin goes on to the Lord Jesus Christ. We identify with him, and he retakes all of our sin upon him. So there you are, Jesus, taking your sin and you standing in that water, and you go down into the water, and that represents death. It represents the complete 100% price that must be paid for your sin. And here's Jesus paying it for you. Your sin is upon him, and you are believing in it, and you're trusting in it, and you're relying on him. You're saying, yes, Jesus, I die to that old way, and I receive you. I receive what you've done, and you go down into the water, but you don't stay there, maybe for a few seconds. Okay? And you come up out of the water, which represents two things. One, that all of your sins have already been washed away when you believed. It's gone, washed away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Okay? And it represents Jesus after he has gone to the cross, after he has paid the price, after he has died, being raised from the dead. And that's what happens to every single one of us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We pass from death unto life. You come up out of that water, it's a new man. It's a new day. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Not at that moment of coming up out of the water. That's already happened. It happened when you believed. Okay? So I'm sharing this with you so that it'll be clear in everybody's mind what's going on here. Okay? Some of you may not know. But when you witness this, you need to know. Thank you, Daniel. Okay? Here's what God says. If you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. That's what's happening. I stand up for you, Jesus. I identify myself. I know I'm a sinner. I know who I am. And I know who you are, Jesus. You are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I leave this. And I put all of my sin upon you. I say no more to the darkness, no more to that way of life. I want your holiness. I want your purity, God. And I join myself to you, Jesus. Will you come into my heart? Will you come into my life? Will you forgive me? Will you wash me? Will you take this stuff away? I believe that your sacrifice was enough. And old things, the old things pass away. And new things come. Life comes. The life of Jesus comes. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others. But do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.